continue. Looking at the 10th commandment, we've been looking at what the commandment prohibits. The obvious, of course, is covetousness, and then everything that would lead to covetousness. I want to look at some things now that the command requires. And again, each commandment requires the opposite of what it prohibits. And the opposite, of course, of covetousness would be contentment. So the command requires that we be content. In Exodus 20 and verse 17, "Shall not covet thy neighbor's house." In other words, we ought to be content with our own. "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife." Again, we ought to be content with our own. "Nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." Just as when people think of covetousness, they immediately think upon the material, material possessions, and that is certainly included in covetousness, but it's not limited to. We sang a song this morning, "I'd Rather Have Jesus." It mentioned several things than worldly applause. That would be, a lot of people covet that, attention. So it includes all of those things. We're not to covet anything. And in the last statement of Exodus 20, verse 17, covers that, "nor anything that is thy neighbor's." So we're to be content. Contentment is very rare. It is rare because it's not in the nature of man. No doubt some personalities tend to be more content than others. Some people are just by nature more content than others. But man by nature is not a content being. Contentment, of course, is commended all through the Word of God. And contentment goes a long way toward happiness. Covetous people are not happy people. They're miserable people. Happy people are usually very content with their life. But contentment is commended in the Scriptures. Notice in Proverbs 15, Proverbs 15 and verse 16. "Better is little." Now, again, people have different definitions of little. We're not going to get into that. "But better is little with the fear of the Lord," with reverence toward God, "than great treasure and trouble therewith." In Luke chapter 3, so there in the verse we just read, we see contentment is better. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 14, "And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." Be content. And again, that's present tense, ongoing, continually. Have a spirit of contentment. In Philippians chapter 4, and you'll notice there in Luke chapter 3, there's no stipulations It just simply be content. It's not dependent upon circumstances. Just be content. Philippians 4, verse 11, Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect of want or lack, for I have learned," and we'll get to this later, "for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith," that is, whatsoever state, "to be," continually again, "content." It's something that he learned. It's not something that we are born with. It's something that we learn. 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." It's great gain. In other words, it's profitable. It's advantageous. Verse 8, "And having food and raiment," and it does not mention a type of food, because it doesn't matter. If you have food, if you have raiment, and it doesn't mention a type of raiment, "having food and raiment, let us therewith," with whatever food, whatever raiment, "be content." Let us be therewith content. Food and raiment. We're to be content. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. "Let your conversation," our daily walk, our lifestyle, "be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have." And he gives a reason why we can be content. For he, because God, we can be content for one reason, God. "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So, because of what God has said, because of who God is, we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." Therefore, we ought to be content. "And I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Content and fear are contrary one to another. So, contentment, like covetousness, is an inward state of the heart that leads to, that dictates behavior. It is, contentment is an inward submission of the heart. This is what God wants me to have, and I submit to it, whatever it is. It's the quiet of the heart. The quiet of the heart. It is the disposition of the mind in which an individual rests satisfied with the will of God concerning their temporal affairs. Just satisfied. Satisfied with God. It is freely submitting to and taking pleasure in God's disposal. Taking pleasure in God's disposal. See, it's not contentment to say, "Well, this must be all God has for me," and be miserable about that. That's not contentment. Contentment takes pleasure in God's disposal. It takes pleasure in God's providence in our life. And we freely submit to it. Again, contentment is quite rare. It's very rare. And it becomes more and more rare all the time. In fact, when you run across someone who's truly content, you think, that is one-eyed duck. That person's weird. Because contentment is so very rare. Contentment is to thankfully receive whatever God gives. Whatever He gives. God gives you a brand new automobile, brand new house. Contentment thankfully receives that. God sends disease your way. Contentment thankfully receives that. If God sends loss your way, contentment thankfully receives or deals with the loss. It is also to be satisfied without whatever God denies us. Someone else has a bigger house. They have a nicer car. They have a better job. In God's providential dealings, He's given you your house, your car, your job. And we need to be satisfied without whatever God denies us. And God denies us things. And He does so in His wisdom. Does so in His wisdom. So we are to be content with that. We are to be content to, and without complaint, to part with whatever God takes from us. Job said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." That's true in life and death. That's true in everything. The Lord gives. And most people don't have any problem with the Lord giving them things. They don't recognize that it's God that gives it, but they don't have any problem. The Lord also has the right to take it away. He has that right. And it's not based upon our behavior necessarily. God just has the right to take it away. People will say, I've served God faithfully all these years, and now this happens. Well, I doubt that you've served God faithfully with that attitude. But contentment doesn't complain. Doesn't complain whatever God takes from us. It trusts God. God, in His wisdom, has taken this from me. It must be good for me. And we're content with that. But that's very rare. That's a very rare characteristic. Contentment is opposed to fear. A content person is not a fearful person. It's opposed to fretfulness. Contentment doesn't worry. Contentment doesn't fret. Don't kid yourself. If you're given to worry, you're not content. You're not content. Contentment and fretfulness are opposed to one another. Contentment and agitation are opposed to one another. It goes without saying, contentment and murmuring are opposed to one another. Contentment is opposed to an unsettled and unstable spirit. Most of God's people and those who profess to be God's people today are unstable. They are spiritually unstable. They are spiritually immature. And that is true even amongst those who are considered spiritually mature. Most are spiritually immature and cannot handle much. And one of the reasons is because there is a lack of contentment. So contentment is the peace of God ruling the heart. Notice in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Very familiar verse of Scripture. And let, something we allow, so we are responsible. the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So contentment is the peace of God ruling in the heart. The peace of God is one of the most amazing things that there is. The peace of God. Now we receive peace with God in salvation. It's called reconciliation. And our peace with God doesn't change. There's been peace made with God due to Jesus Christ. But peace of God, something different. It's something in addition to peace with God. Now, those who do not have peace with God cannot possibly have the peace of God. So it's limited to God's people. But this peace of God, which is a facet of contentment, you'll notice here in Colossians 3 and verse 15, it has power. It's living. It's able to do something. It has the power to rule in the heart. It has the power to govern. The heart, of course, has reference to the affections. This peace of God, this contentment, has the ability to govern affections. It has the ability to govern the mind. It has the ability to govern the will. The peace of God rules in the heart. That is, it guides, it directs, it determines conduct. Just like covetousness determines conduct, covetousness itself is inward, but it determines outward conduct. Contentment is inward, but it determines conduct. The peace of God. What is this peace of God? Well, it's the very peace that Jesus enjoyed on earth. Notice in John chapter 14, Jesus is doing the speaking. In verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you." But then he clarifies it. "My peace. My peace." Big difference between peace and then Jesus saying, "My peace." And then he says, "My peace I give unto you." My peace. This is something special. And I believe it describes the peace of God. The peace of God is the peace that Jesus enjoyed during his earthly ministry. This is not as the world giveth. The world's peace is completely dependent upon circumstances. The Lord is, Jesus is saying here, "My peace is not dependent upon that. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And then notice, we said earlier that contentment is opposed to fretfulness. It's opposed to agitation. Jesus, speaking of this peace, says, "Let not your heart be troubled, be agitated, neither let it be afraid." That is, enjoy my peace. And in so doing, you overcome fear. You overcome agitation. There are people who are agitated at everything. They're covetous individuals. Contentment is not agitated, is not fretful. So, contentment would be opposed to fear, confusion, fretfulness, agitation. In other words, it's rest. Contentment is rest. It is a knowledge and a confidence and an assurance that all is well. You and I do not rest well if we think that our whole world is falling apart. In order to rest, we have to believe that all is well. All is well. And this is a rest. And again, it's based on a knowledge, a confidence, and an assurance that all is well. It might not all be well with our circumstances, but all is well because of who God is. So it's an inward calm. And that inward calm rules. It dictates behavior. Contentment is an inward calm. It's really the opposite of what is stated. Notice in Isaiah 57, and we'll close. Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. It cannot rest. It's impossible. It cannot rest. It's unable. And there are God's people who are unable to rest because they lack this contentment, this peace of God, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. The covetous individual, the discontented individual, that's what they do. Constantly agitated. Constantly casting up mire and dirt. And then the Lord says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So, the command, and we'll continue next week, the command requires that we be content. When the Lord says, thou shalt not covet, He is also saying, thou shalt be content. Thou shalt be content. The commandment could have been written that way. And then, of course, the opposite would be implied, not to covet. But the commandment requires us to be content. So we break the command when we're not content. Every time we're not content, we break the 10th commandment because we're guilty of covetousness, which is exactly what the 10th commandment prohibits. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, that contentment is a possibility for each of your children. And Lord, we know that the joy that contentment brings into our lives. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be content with your dealings, your ways in our lives. So, Lord, that you'd just help us. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with us today, that you'd help us to worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, that you'd just draw us closer to thee. Cause us, Lord, to be more like thee. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.